On the line now I have Serena Daly, and she's listed with Lawler and Partners. Good morning to you, Serena. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. How are you?
Well, it's nice to hear a lady's voice for a change. I mean, Fintan's great, all right, but I mean, it's nice to hear a lady's voice. So first question, I suppose when people have a problem, it's really the only time they start thinking about the law and all that. But the first one is, I'm having serious problems with my husband. Where should I start looking for help? Obviously, she wants to maybe get a separation or something.
Yeah, well, listen, it's obviously a difficult time for anybody when there's, you know, maybe issues starting to arise in their marriage or their relationships. And it can often be a very daunting and, you know, people are very unsure of what to do. And again, look, it would very much depend on each case-by-case basis. But firstly, I suppose it's important for ourselves here when we're giving advice to people is to establish really what the, you know, what the issues are in the relationship first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to identify if there's, you know, serious problems or is it minor kind of starting to bicker and quarrel. If the, you know, the spouse is kind of at the point where, you know, that they don't think there's any reasonable prospect of reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
You know, our first point of call really would be to advise them to see if they can maybe, you know, firstly attend with a marriage counsellor and see if they can perhaps iron things out. And that's an avenue that we'd always advise our clients to explore.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a case that, you know, that's not going to work for them and counselling isn't really an option or they've explored that route and it has failed and there is no prospect of reconciliation, you know, there's various steps that people can go through. The first one would be, I suppose, a separation by agreement, and that's essentially where the parties have an amicable separation and they, you know, they essentially agree on all things in relation to, I suppose, access to children, if they're children of the marriage,
mm-hmm.
In relation to assets, property, etc. And that then can be ruled by a court or essentially if the parties just want each solicitor to draw up an agreement and they're happy and able to abide by that, then
mm-hmm.
that's also an option for them. You know, and the next thing then, I suppose, is judicial separation, and that's really where you're legally separated by a court order. But again, there's certain criteria that you have to meet for that. Parties generally have to be separated for 2 years prior to the application. And essentially, that would kind of be the route that maybe not parties wouldn't agree on all things. There might be certain disputes over, we say, the family home, for example,
mm-hmm.
Or in relation to access if there's children or, you know, welfare and contributions to mortgage repayments, etc. So that would be something that would be a court route that they could take.
Okay.
Again, it can be a long enough process depending on, you know, how much is involved and how much they can kind of agree on. And after that, then I suppose will be, you know, a divorce, and that's essentially where the marriage is you know, null and void. And
that's when it gets really serious. Yeah, that's when it gets really serious. Well,
exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to sort of link that a little bit in to the extent, because a question that would be part of that, would be part of the next one, is that someone involved in a dispute, but he can't afford to pay a solicitor, and is there a way I can get legal help without having to pay? So that would be with the last
Absolutely,
one as well,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if a person is in a position that unfortunately they're not able to pay for their own legal expenses and legal costs, there is the Legal Aid Board that's available. Now, it doesn't mean that they're automatically granted free legal aid. There is a criteria that they have to meet. So firstly, you know, if you're making an application to the Legal Aid Board, there's a difference between criminal and civil matters. And obviously, the first thing that the Legal Aid Board will look at is the person's means. So generally, a person has to be earning, you know, 18,000 a year or less to qualify for legal aid. And then after that, they'll also take into consideration the merits of the case, and they would look at the, I suppose, you know, if this person was in a position to discharge their legal costs, would it be a matter that they will be taken to the courts, you know, on the basis that they had the financial means to front it themselves.
Okay, can I just ask, sorry for interrupting you,
yeah.
Serena, just as in regards to that, you know, the criteria you mentioned there, 18,000, but if someone was, say, on 50,000, but if the dispute was sort of, if you had a precursor to that saying, well, okay, this dispute was going to cost, you know, really half a million or something, you know, maybe a litigation case with a newspaper or media or some kind. Is there any leeway given in that in the criteria, or is it strictly 18,000 and that's the limit?
Now, they do depend things on a case-by-case basis, okay. And obviously there is certain, you know, exceptions to the rule. Generally, I just note your point there. You said if there was, you know, an article in the newspaper or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually don't cover defamation cases.
Okay.
That's which is basically proving if, you know, a person's good name.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But generally, yeah, it would depend largely on a person's means. Because they'd also take into consideration that if there's going to be an award made at the end of this, there will be a certain contribution then that would have to come out of the costs. If the court make an award of damages,
mm-hmm.
The person then would have to make a contribution at the end. So it's not really, I suppose, a free ticket, if you like, to say that, you know, you're granted free legal aid and you're not going to have any costs at all. And there is actually a contribution for advice initially. Which is, again, it depends on your income and your circumstances, but it's usually between 30 to 150 euro that the Legal Aid Board would charge for a kind of an initial consultation to see, I suppose, what the circumstances are of the case and whether this is a case that warrants to be brought before the courts.
Okay. So the next question, but before I go on any further, Serena, as I was fainted to say as well, that, and we say both of us, that if anyone has any legal problems that they think, well, if they're coming up with any problems they think is going to be legal, they'd just go straight to us, Liz, to get advice. And we do have a law centre here in the Civic Centre here on Bunratty Road. Okay, next one. It's a little bit vague, Serena. So my father has passed away and I'm not sure what the process is in relation to looking after a person's estate affairs once they've died. So someone has, father has passed away and he doesn't know what the process is in relation to looking after the estate and all the affairs once they've died. Yeah, now he doesn't mention whether there's a will or not, so, but maybe you can give a broad answer there.
So look, it largely would depend on that. Obviously, when the person passes, it's a very difficult time for all of the family, and sometimes it can be a bit daunting. I'm thinking, you know, oh, how do I kind of proceed from here, or what do I do now? And especially maybe for, you know, maybe the older generation in particular, where you know, perhaps the husband would have dealt with you know, things like the bills or maybe the accounts, or, you know, he kind of would have taken a bit of a lead in that part or that role. So it can often be quite daunting for somebody when they lose a spouse or anybody for that matter. Then,
mm-hmm.
Well, what do we do now? And I suppose firstly it would depend on whether the person has made a will or not. And often people can be quite unsure if they have, or they're unaware of it. So we'd always advise, if it is the case that they think, you know, look, I think my husband might have made a will, but, you know, gosh, it could be 30 years ago. I wouldn't even know which solicitor he went to, or, you know, if he actually even went at all. And I wouldn't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So really, if you got in contact with any solicitor or even the Law Society, you can actually put a notice in the Gazette here. And basically that is distributed to all solicitors. And, you know, there's a kind of a notice on the back of that then that would say, you know, listen, we're looking for, let's just say, Joe Bloggs. We're not sure if Joe Bloggs essentially made a will. If anybody has one or has any record of it, could they, mm-hmm. you know, please contact the solicitor or the Law Society. So that would be kind of the first point of call to make for somebody, to see if they have a will. And obviously then if they do have a will, it makes it a little bit more clear cut for the family, as in, they know what the deceased wishes are and what, you know, what they want exactly to happen to their estate and the way they want to be divided accordingly. So if that is the case, it'll be, you know, they have to generally come to a solicitor, unless the estate is quite small, it's under 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, they can deal with the assets themselves. But anything over that, we essentially have to get a grant of probate. So there's a certain application involved with that. And that essentially is a High Court order that basically allows the executor of the estate to distribute the assets according to the will and to make sure that everything has been complied with,
okay.
and that it's fair and that everybody has their entitlement seen through. And if there's no will, then it's a little bit of a different process. Again, it depends on the amount of the estate, and it also depends on, you know, the amount of assets involved that we're talking about. And that would be a similar application. It would be letters of administration that we'd apply for. And again, then it would usually go, it would usually be distributed to, you know, the next of kin or any children. And if there's no spouse or child, then it's gets a little bit more tedious, and then it would go to, it would be sisters, brothers, you know, nieces, nephews, etc. So it's a little bit more complicated if it's intestacy. But again, it would depend on how many relatives or next of kin that there is to the deceased estate.
Okay, well, it's, Serena, it sounds like, I mean, if we jump back to the first question about someone having trouble with the husband or spouse or whoever it may be, if they can set it amicably with mediation, that's fine, if it doesn't get serious. So the question in relation to someone like the father passing away, if he hadn't made a will, let's say he has an estate worth $500,000 and there's four kids involved, let's say they're all friendly and they say, look, let's just split it four ways and do all that. They still have to go to a solicitor to do all that, don't they?
They do, yeah, they do. And, you know, we would always advise that somebody would. And in the event that just, often things can, from the face of it, appear to be very amicable between people, especially when it comes to estates. And, you know, a lot, especially with brothers and sisters, it can often be the case of, oh, look, you know, we won't have any issue with that, and sure, that's grand. And then often it can be, you know, when it comes down to it, then it's, well, oh, no, you know, I think this is a bit unfair, and it can often be a dispute and stuff like that. So largely, yeah, it's always advisable to come to a solicitor. And plus, if there's any assets or property involved in that, they'd have to go to a solicitor anyway to get them transferred. So at that point then, even if they did decide that, you know, well, maybe we can deal with these things ourselves, you know, we'd then advise them and say, look, you know, this isn't, it, you know, I know what you're trying to, your own good intentions behind it.
And I'm sure being in the business you're in of law, that sometimes people fall out even after a couple of months and things can change dramatically. So if things are done properly.
Absolutely. So it's better to kind of, I suppose, deal with things properly first and foremost, and then it'll save, well, could save a lot of hardship or any future fallouts later on down the road. So yeah, it's always, you know, definitely a better idea for people. It's, you know, when they're not trained in the legal profession and the circumstance and the procedure involved, it can be very hard to try and do it yourself and to get it right without any complications. So it can often end up costing them more time and money in the long run. So ideally it's better to at least get advice anyway, if nothing else, and go from there then in regards to all legal matters.
Okay, well listen, I'm going to stick in an extra one if you don't mind, Serena. It's just come in on the phone, and we'll see where we go with it, because it's to do with wills and sins. We've been talking about it. A man has made his will 40 years ago, and it's just a pretty plain will, leaving everything to his wife. There's no details in it, for instance. Like, he just says everything to my wife and that's it. And it's been, what did he call them, people that are there, witnesses, two witnesses. Everything's done in front of a solicitor. But you know the way today you have to list everything, what you have and all that. There's none of that at all. So does it need to be updated? Would you advise updating it?
So sorry, Noel, is this person is still alive?
Oh yeah, yeah, he just rang up, yeah. He just said he heard us talking, and while we were talking about wills, now he just went to the, and had a quick look at it, and he said it's 40 years since I made it.
Oh yes.
And he had a quick look at it, and it just says leaving everything to his wife. But doesn't have, he says, look, he hears people talking now where it says, well, you know, gives a list of all assets now. There's none of that in it. So does he need to update it?
It would be a good idea for him to update it, absolutely, because I suppose for any solicitor or when it comes to the executor, you know, reading out the will, it'll be very clear of exactly what's involved in the estate. You know, and often people might have had a credit union account that they would have set up, you know, as this person maybe 40 years ago, and you know, maybe the spouse or the children might not be aware of that, or they might have forgotten about it. So it is always a great idea if people can to update their will and to list their current assets as they stand at the moment, from property, you know, even here and overseas, any accounts that they have, or, you know, any jewellery or personal belongings. It is, you know, anything of value, really. It's a great idea to actually list that on the back of your will. However, if it's the case that a person doesn't, and they just essentially say on their will that I leave, you know, everything in my possession as I die to my wife, for example, it's not the end of the world. It does make it a little bit more, trickier in that we'd have to make sure that we've ticked all the boxes and obviously got in contact with the, you know, the central bank, for example, mm-hmm. to see if there's any accounts held, or we'd get in contact with, you know, say the bank's central offices and their head office, just to be sure that the accounts are the deceased or the, you know, the person who's passed away, if they've any other accounts that might be left idle there that we wouldn't be aware of, and mm-hmm. obviously we would maybe write to the credit unions in the locality as well.
Okay.
It can be trickier to pin down if there's not a list of it.
Okay.
But I suppose if there isn't a list, it's not the end of the world either.
Okay, so anyway, the advice there is to update. Sure, you can come to the local law office
if they
here.
Can, yeah. Yeah, they come if to they can the, update it.
If you're in the area, please come to the local law office here or go to your local solicitor, because the law office is here and they have an open night every Thursday night here as well. The website to where for Lawler & Partners, Serena?
Our website, yeah, it's just lawlerpartners.ie.
Okay, this
and is... And we're just based here at the forecourt.
Okay, look forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much. You've been quite comprehensive in all the answers and it's been terrific talking to you. So I'll let you
absolutely.
Go back to work.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you, Serena. Thank you
Thanks
very much.
See you.
Bye. Bye.